Welcome to another Northwest Herald Football Podcast. I'm sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond and our illustrious sports editor Kyle Neighbors. And guys, 56 seemed to be the magic number last week. We saw Prairie Ridge, Jacobs, and Huntley all hit 56 on the nose. Kerry Grove messed around and went for too many two-point conversions and had 57. But some big scores last week. Not a lot of real good games. But Kyle, let's start with your game. You got to see Prairie Ridge for the first time. Your indoctrination to the Wolves version of triple option football and Samson Evans and Zach Gulbranson and company. What are your impressions?
Well, first off, you're being way too kind calling me illustrious. No one has ever said anything like that before. But yes, Prairie Ridge looked very good. I mean, they ran 19 plays in the first half and scored six times. Zach Gulbranson had five of them. I mean, just five of them in the first half. He finished with six overall. He scored on the third play of the second half. Just a fantastic team effort. Looked really good up front. Samson Evans, of course, yeah, I mean, you expect it out of him. But if they're going to be able to get that kind of production out of Zach Gulbranson, which obviously you're not going to get a guy having six touchdowns on his first nine touches like he did last week. But if you get anything like that out of your starting backfield along with Samson, what you're going to get out of Samson Evans, it's going to be tough to beat.
Zach is really a nice outside threat for them. He's pretty fast. He's probably about as fast as any of the other backs around, other than Huntley's quarterback, Eric Mooney. But he looks really fast on the outside and a great threat for them.
Yeah, Central did a lot. I mean, they really tried to stack the box against Samson Evans. And if you're going to do that, Zach, and you got to have some way to seal off that edge, and they didn't. Zach Gulbranson just kept popping to the outside, and just every time he touched the ball, you were looking 20, 30 yards downfield. It was quite amazing.
So on the game that I saw Friday, not a lot of drama, really. Jacobs beat Chris Lake South 56-28, and I tell you, guys, Kyle, you saw him in the first week. Jacobs looking really good. South just could not stop that offense. Lauren Strickland had a big night, about 157 yards on only eight carries or something like that. Anthony Wilson looked good. Even little bitty Caleb Walker is so quick. He carried the ball three times and scored twice. That line is terrific. It's a big line, and I'm really excited about seeing Jacobs and Kerry Grove face off this week.
Yeah, that's an exciting matchup for them. Am I reading this right, Joe, that Jacob scored seven touchdowns in the first half?
49 points at halftime, yeah. It South scored with 42 seconds to go in the half, and I'm thinking, man, can Jacobs punch another one in here? And they did it. It was a nice pass, for a 35-yard pass, Anthony Wilson to Jermaine Maglin Ferguson with 2 seconds left. So they were really good.
Joe, you know, after seeing them now, Joe, in person, you know, what do you think Jacob, you know, what type of team is Jacobs? Do you think where are they in the FEC, you know?
Well, you know, last year they kind of hit their stride late in the season. This year I think they're, you know, and it's understandable because they had so many guys come back. They're a lot better than they were last year, even without Chris Katrinik, who's at Duke at quarterback. Anthony Wilson looks really good, and Coach Bill Mitz was talking about him. He said, we're going to be fine with him at quarterback. He does a great job. He threw some great balls. He doesn't have to throw a lot because they run so well and behind that line. But this is a really good team, and that's going to be a really tough game to pick on Friday with them and Kerry Grove. Kerry Grove's defense is really good, but boy, this is a tough offense.
I think a lot of people slept on Jacob because of the quarterback turnover. Obviously, there was a lot coming back elsewhere. But they went to so much of a power run game last year that people said, okay, they're just going to run the ball. You don't have to worry about the quarterback. You know, maybe they'll throw it three, four times a game. But we've seen them be able to do it, 8, 10, 12 times now. And Anthony Wilson has an arm. And if you're going to try and stack the box against Lauren Strickland, they will beat you deep.
And, you know, I saw Huntley in week two, and I think Huntley – maybe better than last year. And Jacobs, you know, lost to Huntley 35-0 and only lost by three this year. So that's another indication.
I mean, right. I thought Jacobs was going to win that game. You know, maybe it was a bit of a letdown. But, I mean, it Huntley quarterback Eric Mooney put his team on his back and got him down the field. So, to me, seeing Jacobs play with Huntley in week one, I think they're a legit team, particularly once – They're going to have a little trouble in the FVC. It's interesting to see what happened with Cary this week. Prairie Ridge is still out there.
Yeah, that's week eight with those two.
So, I mean, they might take a few losses here. They might end up with three losses, but I think they can play with Cary Grove. We're going to find out. They're going to be a really, really tough out in 7A.
I agree. I agree with you completely. They have that confidence from last year. Hey, we can do this, and they are a better team. So I think you're absolutely right there, Kyle. Sean, you saw another impressive start from Johnsburg. The Skyhawks take down Richmond Burton 34-10. You had an interesting theory about the Skyhawks because you said they're using a much more up-tempo offense this year. What was your theory on that? I kind of agree with you. You might be right.
But before I mention that theory, I will say that Coach Dan DeBuff might not agree with the statement you said there that they had a good start, because they really didn't have a good start in this game. They fell behind 7-0. Richmond Burton scored on the first possession, but then Johnsburg scored 34 straight points, so that took care of that. My theory is that Coach DeBuff looked at that film from the state championship game last year against Rochester and looked at some of those things that Rochester was doing and said, let's do this. Let's try to do some of these things and incorporate it into our own game, because this Johnsburg team is a lot faster than what we saw last year. There were a lot of times when they had five wide receivers out there and they spread them out and they were going. Like, I had a hard time keeping up with you know, my stat keeping in the game, because I'm running downfield trying to catch up with them and write at the same time and do all this stuff. And they go really fast in between plays. And that's not really something that we saw last year, at least not to this level, I don't think.
I think Sean is saying that he didn't expect to get a workout on Friday evening.
Well, that would be true.
I tell you, you know, when you get those teams that run that up-tempo, having a really good, accurate PA guy is like gold.
Oh, yeah.
You're really relying on those guys on those nights. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake are proud sponsors of today's podcast. And here's some information. You can earn loyalty points at B-Dubs. Just sign up for the Blazing Rewards program and start earning points on every purchase you make. And right now, you can earn extra points by eating items like the Cali Chicken Sandwich, Fiesta Pork Tacos, and more. Can't make it to B-Dubs? Order online for easy pickup. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin on Randall Road, or in Crystal Lake on Route 14 across from Sam's Club. Well, maybe the most eventful game of Friday night in our area involved Marion Central losing at Bennett 27-0. It's not the loss, but it's what happened in that game. A rash of injuries hit the Hurricanes. They had a lot of key players, Gavin Scott, their quarterback, Brian Nemezek, their running back, and then Patsy Ricciardi, their receiver, their sophomore, who is their backup quarterback. He went to quarterback and got hurt. And also Jaden Thiergood, one of their offensive linemen. How bad could this be for Marion? We don't know exactly how long these guys are going to be out. We're guessing it's going to be at least a couple, three games or so. It was knee injuries for Scott and Nemezek.
Yeah, you just got to feel bad for Gavin Scott because of what happened at the end of last year in the playoffs and getting hurt. And even before the playoffs, too, he was banged up the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we've seen what they can do when they're healthy, but they got to be healthy. And you know, who knows what's going to happen now.
Kyle, do you think they can still make the playoffs?
It's tough to say before we know if this team can get healthy. It's going to be a rough few weeks here. It was already going to be an uphill battle, particularly this week with Maris coming in. You know, it's a shame. I thought that they needed to get at least one, if not both, of their non-conference games. We didn't really know what to expect with those Wisconsin teams. They took care of business, looked pretty good doing it. And then to have this happen, you know, not just to lose to Bennett, but to lose in that fashion, lose so much of the heart of your offense, really taking the wind out of their sails. And hopefully they can keep it together long enough to get healthy, because the back end of their schedule are winnable games. It's just they got to find a way to get there.
Yeah, they got it. If they can get to five wins and get in, we saw what they did last year, and this I believe is a better team, significantly better Marion team than last year. They look like it anyway, offensively, but they have to get there, and this could make it really tough.
Yeah, you know, if they can get into the playoffs like last year, you know, at 5A, I think they're a really competitive team in Class 5A, but you know, there's a lot of question marks now.
Well, another game that stuck out with me on week three was Woodstock, 14-7 over Marengo. And look at the blue streaks, 3-0 for the first time since. I had to go look this up last night, and it took a little looking. 2002, Ed Brucker's Woodstock team started 4-0. And Woodstock has a good shot at doing that. They go play Harvard this week. So what are your impressions of what are you guys' impressions of the blue streak so far?
Well, we thought this game against Marengo would be kind of a toss-up, and it was 14-7. You know, three wins are three wins. That's a good start for the blue streaks, and we'll see what they can do from here on out.
No disrespect to the blue streaks, and it's probably going to sound like it. I mean, it's a good 3-0 team. They're finding ways to win games. I'm still not convinced that this is a team that is a real threat long term. They're going to be 4-0 this week. They're going to probably clock Harvard like everyone does. But they're with the way their schedule is set up, they're going to need to get six wins, I think, to make the playoffs. They're not getting any playoff points out of their first three teams. I think so far the first three teams have combined for one win. There's not going to be many more there. Harvard isn't going to get them any points. This team's going to need six wins to make the playoffs.
Yeah, we were looking at that and crunching the numbers. It does look like they're definitely going to. Last year, it worked out. They had different non-conference teams. Last year, had they gotten to that fifth win in week nine, it would have got them in. They had plenty of points. This year, I don't see that happening.
Well, I know I'm throwing some shade at them right now, but like I said, they've found ways to win games so far. They're going to have to find a way to get a win where we don't think it's coming, whether that's Dixon, Richmond Burden still on the schedule, Johnsburg. They're going to have to find a way to win one of those games.
Right.
And the Woodstock North game, too. They beat them last year. So that's a
that could be a big, huge game for Woodstock.
That's a big game for both.
Yeah, that's a must win for Woodstock in my book.
All right, guys. So we have 1/3 of the season. It feels weird to say that it's gone so quickly. 1/3 of the season is gone, and so I'm going to ask you, Kyle, what's something you have learned in the first third of the local football season?
I've learned that Jacobs is a very, very good football team. As I was saying, I think they're a real threat to make it deep into the 7A field. I think they have a real chance to win against Cary Grove this week. Obviously, it's not going to be easy. They're very well balanced offensively. The defense is solid. I think that they can challenge just about anyone.
Sean?
I learned that Johnsburg is for real this year. As you know, we had some questions going into the year, especially on the offensive side, and having seen them in person for the first time this week, you know, I think they're gonna, you know, they have the ability to run through the KRC. I think they could do that. I think that's definitely possible, and you know, they could potentially get, you know, I think this is a long way away, but you know, you could see them going into Class 4A with a 9-0 record again. Obviously, there's a lot of games to play, and a lot can happen, but I mean, the type of offense that they're running, they just got to get the ball to their guys, Frazier and LaDolce, and let them run. And that's, you know, what they've been doing early on here.
Well, for the something I've learned, I'm going to go with Cary Grove, because this is a team that lost all but, I believe Brad Seberg said they had the two starters coming back, and that's not counting Max Skoll, who so far has mainly just played on offense at fullback. Their two starters were the cornerbacks, Ben Farrell and Danny Daigle. And DJ Gajewski was in the rotation, but not a full-time starter on the defensive line. So that defense is pretty much revamped. But I guess I should know from history that it doesn't always matter with the Trojans. Don Sutherland, their defensive coordinator, is so good at what he does, and they just plug new guys in and still do it. And that defense has been outstanding again. What is it? It's 14 points the first two games. Right, and last week it was another 14. So 28 points in three games. They're getting it done, and I think the offense is going to get better, and it's going to be really fun to see the next couple weeks what happens with Cary Grove and Jacobs, and then next week Cary Grove and Huntley. Let's take a look now at this week's games. We'll make our picks for this week. We'll start with the KRC. Marengo, 0-3, going to Woodstock North.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I might say it's another KRC one that's kind of a toss-up, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't have strong feelings either way. I'm probably going to go with Marengo. They're 0-3. That being said, they've played close games. At some point, I feel like this team is going to find a way to pull one out.
Yeah. All three of Marengo's games have been lost by one score. They've all been one possession games. 17 total points, I think.
If that trend continues, like you said, Kyle, they're going to find a way to win one. North is coming off a win over Harvard this week. I don't know if we mentioned that. I don't know who to pick. I'm going to pick North, but I don't have a strong feeling either way.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to go Marengo.
I'm picking the Thunder in that game. Woodstock at Harvard.
I'm going to take the Blue Streaks. They'll get to 4-0.
At this point, I'm just looking for some kind of progress out of Harvard. Until they do that, they're not going to be in many games. Just get some progress out of the Hornets, but it's going to be Woodstock this week.
I will say they had 184 yards of offense last week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but compared to, you know, what they had in the first couple weeks.
It is encouraging, yeah. And they have the kid that was Sean Saylor said was their best player, Sean Bao, who's playing fullback or running back, whatever, and linebacker. He's probably one of their bigger kids, too. He's back. He had a collarbone that kept him out, I think, the first two games, recovering from a broken collarbone. So that should help him, too. But I'm going with the Blue Streaks as well. Then we go to the Battle of the Rockets, Burlington Central at Richmond Burton.
Yeah, Burlington Central is 2-1 with wins over Hampshire and Rockford Lutheran. Lost to Byron. I don't know. I'm not confident in who to pick in this one either. I might pick Burlington Central. I didn't see a lot out of Richmond this week, but again, they were going up against a pretty good Johnsburg team.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think the offense is there for Richmond the way they've been playing. Only putting up 7 points against Sandwich. They struggled last week against a good Johnsburg team, but still, you know, Burlington Central, their one loss is to a really, really good Byron team. So I'm going to take Burlington Central.
You know what? I'll take RB in this one. I'm going to say that the Rockets get it going a little bit better. We'll go to the Fox Valley Conference now. Hampshire at Huntley.
Are we going to pick the Johnsburg game?
Oh yeah, that was down on my list because it was. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We can jump to that real quick since
I'm in KRC mode.
Yes, the KRC Johnsburg going to Stillman Valley, a non-conference game against an old Big Northern foe, Stillman Valley.
Stillman Valley comes in at 1-2. I'm going to pick Johnsburg.
I think Johnsburg's going to win this game pretty handily.
Yeah, I will go with Johnsburg as well. Now we'll go to the Fox Valley Conference where we have Hampshire 1-2 at Huntley 2-1.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot out of Hampshire that would indicate that they're, you know, going to win this game. I'm going to pick Huntley.
Absolutely. Huntley's probably going to win. It's probably going to be a lopsided score.
Yes, I will go with Huntley as well. Prairie Ridge, 3-0 at Crystal Lake South, 0-3.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Prairie Ridge. South off to a rough start here.
Yeah, I really expected South to be more competitive this year. I'm not sure exactly what is going on there, but a game against Prairie Ridge is not going to make them feel much better, I'm sure.
No, I will go with Ridge as well. And then kind of an interesting game, McHenry 2-1, Crystal Lake Central 2-1.
This is a big game for both teams. A big, you know, as big of a game can be at this point in the season, I think it has, Kyle, you and I were talking about this earlier, but I think it has big playoff implications for both teams. Having seen both of them, I think McHenry's maybe a little bit more consistent on offense. I'm going to pick McHenry in this, but I think it's they have two similar playing styles, and I think this could be a fun game to watch.
Man, I'm really divided here, and I do agree. The winner of this game is probably going to put themselves in to make the playoffs. The loser is going to be in a really bad situation in terms of making the playoffs. I've seen both of these teams. Crystal Lake Central moved the ball against PR last week. They put up over 300 yards of offense. I think they ended up with 16 penalties in the game. It was kind of ugly. I think if they can clean it up a little bit, I liked what I saw from them offensively. I think that they can win this game, and I'm going to pick Central.
I will go with McHenry in this one. And then probably the toughest game we have on the whole docket here to pick this week, Jacobs 2-1, at Cary 2-1.
Two really good offensive lines in this one.
Yes.
There'll be that'll be an area to watch in this game. Kerry Grove is definitely the best defense that Jacobs has faced this year. Well, maybe not definitely. I don't know. What did you think of the Huntley defense?
I don't think much of the Huntley defense, okay, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Kerry Grove, you know, held Prairie Ridge down and what we've seen the first 3 weeks from them, I think this will be Jacobs' toughest challenge yet. I'm going to pick Kerry Grove in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kerry Grove by – I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a one-touchdown game, maybe 10 points. I think Jacobs is really good. I can't pick against Kerry Grove right now. They're playing really well.
Yeah, I too will go with the Trojans, but I really liked what I saw from Jacobs last week. I think this is going to be a terrific game, and I'm glad that I'm the old guy here and I get first pick. So we'll go to the East Suburban Catholic. It might not be pleasant for Marion Central this week. They're hosting the defending conference champ Marist, 3-0.
Yeah, we'll have to see, you know, what the Hurricanes, whether they have any of these guys back, but I'm going to pick Marist in this one.
It would have been a tough week for Marion, even if they were healthy. I think Marist might be one of the top 10 teams in the state. They got 5 or 6 Division I recruits, and I think that Marist is going to win this one running away.
I agree. I will go with the Red Hawks as well. Then we're going to another non-conference game. Dundee Crown 0-3 at East Aurora 0-3. One of these two teams is going to be happy on Friday night.
Yeah, someone's got to win. East Aurora's losses are to Elgin Stag and West Aurora. I'll pick Dundee Crown.
That list of losses for Elgin. East Aurora. Elgin was last week that we had them. That was another team that was just out of area and just struggling to do anything. I guess Dundee Crown, I don't have a great feel either way. Both of these programs are down quite a bit.
Yeah, Dundee Crown's really young this year. They only have like a handful of seniors. I think it was like 8 seniors on the whole roster, and so they're kind of building for the future. I think this is the one for DC. I think they get this one this week, and actually that's our last game to pick as far as 8-man football this week. Alden Hebron. Well, I guess we could pick it. I'll pick Alden Hebron. They're getting a forfeit. That would be a sure win. Alden Hebron will move to 2-2. Maranatha Baptist in Wisconsin only had 12 players to start the season.
And, 12 players?
Yeah. And so they couldn't field enough for 8-man, and it wound up forfeiting all its games. So John Lawler went to Ottawa Marquette coach and said, hey, you know, we don't want to miss a whole week. They used to play in the Northeastern Athletic Conference with Ottawa Marquette. They have a good relationship. He said, yeah, we'll come up and play a JV game. So on Saturday night, Hebron will play Ottawa Marquette's JV in an 8-man game up at Hebron. So that's nice. At least Hebron doesn't have to take a whole week off, and they get to go hit somebody else besides themselves for a night. But Hebron will get a win and go to 2-2 for what that's worth. Well, thanks for listening in this week. We will be back next week, and we'll talk about what happened in week 4 of our area football.